during her last year here, our interim minister, Reverend Dana Worsnop, spoke the following words from the pulpit of this UU fellowship that I have attended for 27 years. Gracious God of many names and no name, mystery beyond all naming, Spirit of life which dwells within and among and beyond us this day and always, may we keep our minds and hearts open to truth, to new ideas, to one another. May we speak the truth as we know it. May we know that truth is an evolving, changing, transforming thing. May we listen to one another with care. May we be prepared, open, and available to be changed and transformed by one another, by this community. And that was what I needed to hear, what I want to believe, that truth is not fixed or absolute, that we can be open and available to be changed and transformed by one another. This speaks of radical welcoming and respect for the inherent worth and dignity of every person. For several years, I had been feeling that radical respect and welcoming had been fading from my life and my church. James Luther Adams was the most influential UU theologian of the 20th century. He was an active minister and professor of theology from the late 1920s until the time of his death in 1994. He invented the expression, the idea of the priesthood and prophethood of all believers. I want to heed the words of James Luther Adams. The prophetic liberal church is the church in which persons think and work together to interpret the signs of the times in the light of their faith, to make explicit through discussion the epical thinking that the times demand. The prophetic liberal church is the church in which all members share the common responsibility to attempt to foresee the consequences of human behavior, both individual and institutional, with the intention of making history in place of merely being pushed around by it. Only through the prophetism of all believers can we together foresee doom and mend our common ways. I believe the priesthood and prophethood of all believers should be a doctrine to guide our everyday, ordinary lives. We are meant to discern and articulate our religious understandings of God, mystery, or spirit, as well as our cultural understandings of equality or justice or privilege, with open minds and open hearts. Our national association, the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association, has a congregation-driven system of developing the prophetism of all believers, or many believers anyway. Every year, congregations are encouraged to bring forth proposals for social justice statements. These proposals are evaluated, distributed to congregations, studied, amended, and finally, after approval by delegates at a UUA General Assembly, guide the UUA's work of changing lives and creating a better world. Here's a description from the UUA website. UUA justice efforts are grounded in our congregationally driven social justice statements and are called to break down divisions, heal isolation, and honor the interconnectedness of all life and all justice issues. We modeled these commitments by creating just, welcoming, and inclusive congregations. We act in partnership with groups and communities most impacted by injustice on local, state, national, and international levels. We have a legacy of deeds, not creeds. Our work for a better world calls us to unexpected places as we harness love's power to stop oppression. From grassroots community organizing to interfaith, state, national, and corporate advocacy, in protest marches, prayer vigils, and press conferences, in homeless shelters and in prisons, Unitarian Universalists put our faith into action. At our best, this social justice statement process brings together many diverse UUs to share their unique perspectives and visions so that we can together foresee doom and mend our common ways. I can't think of any other faith tradition that allows their members and congregations to drive their national policies on social justice issues. This is something to be proud of, this attempt at the prophethood of all believers. This is the process that has transformed our UU culture from 5% female ministers in 1977 to more than 50% today. From the 1970 resolution to end discrimination against homosexuals and bisexuals, to our early support for same-sex marriage in 1996. I know of no other religious tradition that embraces this radical openness. Most religions embrace the prophetic vision of a prophet. Jesus, Muhammad, Martin Luther, Joseph Smith, the list is quite long. We, on the other hand, believe that we all can apprehend the great mystery through our own search, our own perceptions from our own corner of the sky. We believe that together we can all find ways to live good lives in this world, to foresee doom and mend our common ways. We have set our sights very high. We have set our sights on the stars and the sun, and sometimes we fly too high and our wings fail us. When we UUs discuss gracious God of many names or mystery beyond all naming, we're usually quite open and willing to allow each other to discern and articulate our individual beliefs. This is James Luther Adams' Priesthood of All Believers. And it concerns our values and the realm of the Spirit. And I find that as long as UUs are discussing God or mystery or Spirit, we are very good at maintaining open-minded, liberal attitudes. Probably because we know that we don't know the absolute truth about God or whatever. When we Unitarian Universalists shift from the discernment of our place in the vast and unknowable universe, and we discern and articulate our place in the culture in which we live and breathe and have our being, we sometimes become narrow in our thinking. When dealing with the real world, we know what's right and we know what's wrong, and we aren't always open to further discussion or discernment. We know we're right because the Huffington Post says we're right. I I was thinking of using local writer Bill Cope as an example, and then he surprised me by retiring after 20 years of writing his column in the Boise Weekly. We all read the Boise Weekly, don't we? Okay. Here are a few of his thoughts from his nearly last column. He said, "I have displayed on these pages a disposition for verbal cruelty and abuse that has often shocked even me. I submitted those first few columns only because I saw the country slipping into a pattern of division and vitriol and felt the need to respond and defend the liberal values being so viciously attacked. Perhaps I was pulled too far into that ugly maelstrom." I am reminded of something that one of Kurt Vonnegut Jr.'s characters said. "Be very careful who you choose as an enemy, for you will become just like them." I have felt the same pull. It troubles me. I see it all around me. I haven't enjoyed Mr. Cope's columns much the last few years. I see our liberal prophets condemning the conservative prophets as monsters and demons, and I see all of their prophets condemning us. This last Friday, the Westboro Baptist Church protested at our UUA General Assembly in Columbus, Ohio. They don't like our policies on divorce, remarriage, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and one protester had a sign that said, "We eat our children." I don't know. Probably something about abortion. I'm pleased with our response. We met them outside. We were wearing angel wings in remembrance of the victims of Orlando. And we were singing songs. We treated those people, the ones who are wrong, like they were just standing under a different corner of the sky. UU President Peter Morales has said that we need to build a big tent with no borders. We need to open ourselves up to new people. But in what ways are we a small tent? Not theologically. We're quite good at accepting and affirming the priesthood of a wide range of believers. We are more theologically open-minded than Catholics, Christians, Jews, Muslims, or Mormons. You can be a UU and still believe that you are going to heaven. You just can't believe that everyone else is going to hell. So why don't we have 50 million members instead of 162,000? Reverend Kalen Fristad, who spoke here last week about universalism, observed that people tend to resemble the gods they serve. If that's true, then our UU God is an LGBTQIA eco-feminist Black Lives Matter white female Democrat. That might explain why there are more Amish in America than you use. Last week, Idaho Democrats gathered at their convention to create their party platform. And this is what John Rush, Idaho House Minority Leader, said about that process. "Values unite, policies divide. If we focus on specific policy issues, We will drive a stake through the heart of the Idaho Democrats and their attempts to enact policy in this state. How could it be that an organization could focus on specific policies and end up reducing its ability to influence the larger world? Could it be that creating specific policy closes down the prophetic process? Maybe once you have your policy statement, you stop listening, stop collaborating, stop searching for common ground and common purpose, stop talking about values. If this is true for the Democrats and others, could it be true for us? UU Minister Robert Latham tells us no society is ever transformed by any social action or political correctness that is only designed to change its laws. Laws are only kept by a nation's people if their conscience subscribes to these laws. This was one of the most important lessons of Martin Luther King, Jr. He was not focused on simply getting laws changed so that blacks could eat with whites at dime store lunch counters. He was committed to changing the heart of the culture so that the mingling of blacks and whites in the same eating establishment would be an irrelevant issue. His primary message was that if we wish to change a culture's behavior in any sustainable manner, we must first change the culture's heart that produces sustained behavior. Only a commonly empowered view of reality that elevates the imperatives of community, demands the diminishment of greed, and insists on honoring the worth of creation can overcome the persistent forces of destruction. And only a changed social heart can sustain the insistence of such a view of reality. Changing social hearts, all hearts, is the essence of the priesthood and prophethood of all believers. And it can start right here, inside and outside this congregation. We have many opportunities to partner with local groups. A recent example of this would be an invitation to us in early June to join a rally in support of the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence. They mobilized faith groups and organizations across the Treasure Valley for a community rally to address the increasing violence we've witnessed lately and to imagine a better future for our community. Their project is a prophetic conversation. They're reaching out to all believers to answer this question. What should we do when people choose violence? We can see the connections between the recent brutal acts of violence in Idaho. Three college football players sexually assaulting a female student, four men targeting and killing a gay man, and a young man killing another in a domestic violence rage. We have a shared responsibility to ask what we must do to end domination and violence. We can do better. We must do better. Together, let's build compassionate communities where everyone is valued and accepted, where we see our own and each other's humanity, communities where everyone can thrive and reach their true potential. The rally is over, but if we have a chance to participate in the larger project, individually or institutionally, we should. We should get out and talk to other people as much as we can, because we're not all that diverse. At a membership of only 162,000, we're not even 1% of the U.S. population. Our membership is about two-thirds female, predominantly white, heterosexual, college-educated, upper middle class. Sometimes our lack of diversity is a little embarrassing. When all of us are standing in one very small corner of the sky, our prophethood falls far short of our calling. Those people who don't think like we do, they're just standing under a different corner of the sky. And we're standing under a very small corner of the sky. Our earth is round, and among other things, that means that you and I and they can hold completely different points of view and both be right. And that's hard, and I struggle with it. And I think we all do. As individuals and as institutions, we have often failed to achieve the state of grace that Reverend Dana expressed in her prayer. Perhaps it is time to enter into the priesthood and prophethood of all believers, to keep our minds and hearts open to truth, to new ideas, and to one another. To speak the truth as we know it, to understand that truth is an evolving, changing, transforming thing. To listen to one another with care. To be changed and transformed by one another and by our faith. May it be so.